Hey, what's up, Raleigh?
What's up, bro? How you doing, man?
Good, good. Glad to have you on. What's going on?
Oh, just ready to get into it, get into all the deals, all the things.
Yeah, man, I saw some cool stuff coming through. I like what's going on with the newsletter. Tell me about what we just saw today. You made an acquisition?
I did do an acquisition today. So Deal Maven is buying Media Acquire, which was under a different name before. I would consider it a kind of a tech tuck-in type deal more than a operating business. There wasn't any financial diligence to really do. It was all about a platform that a team had built that I really liked. They were in the acquisition space. They kind of built a platform for you to buy and sell little small tech projects similar to a Micro Acquire or a Microns or a Tiny Acquisitions. I've always liked those businesses. I've actually reached out to the owners of Microns and Tiny Acquisitions and tried to invest in
Oh,
them.
nice. Yeah.
And I found one that was kind of like that, but hadn't really taken off yet.
So it had like a nice software and a nice kind of user interface layout set up, but no real kind of traction, marketing, sales
Right.
behind it necessarily.
Right.
Okay.
He had done some sales. The user interface, when I first saw it, I liked it. We've actually ended up redesigning it. Kind of, if you go to Media Acquire right now, it looks pretty different than it did before. But Deal Maven as a platform is a pretty heavy tech infrastructure, dev team, all that stuff. And I like that Media Acquire was all built on kind of no code tools with a great design. And the idea was, instead of trying to compete with guys that are doing a great job at Microns or Tiny Acquisitions or Micro Acquire, with having a marketplace for another product hunt projects that have moved on to the next phase, where the creator of them has moved on and wants to move on,
Okay.
I thought, I want to build a marketplace where people can look at media acquisitions, traffic acquisitions, whatever you want to call it, anything that you're buying it because it's got eyeballs instead of the fact that you're buying it because it's a working piece of software. And so on Media Acquire, we're looking at Facebook groups to list, Instagram pages, Twitter accounts, apps that have been on the App Store that have thousands of users, where you're really
Yeah.
buying the audience, you're buying eyeballs instead of really what the product looks like.
Rather than marketing and getting like one subscriber at a time, one user at a time, a company might want to just purchase a Facebook account or Facebook, I guess it's a group, right? A Facebook group, and you get a multitude of people and outreach that way.
Right. Yep. And I know I've done it for Deal Maven. I've purchased traffic assets that are focused around mergers and acquisitions or like famous people within mergers and acquisitions. And I'm not buying it because of the revenue associated with those accounts. I'm buying it because they have the type of eyeballs that I want to have.
Nice, yeah.
And I'd rather own the asset myself as opposed to renting it through paid promotions or JV sponsorships or any of that stuff. Even in the trampoline park business, when I was in the trampoline park business, there was a competitor that went out of business, an axe throwing account that went out of business, axe throwing business. And their Instagram account had a fair amount of followers. And we weren't really interested in the axe throwing business itself, the lease, any of that stuff, but we were interested in their email addresses of the past customers and their Instagram account, their social media accounts. And
Okay.
so we bought those assets for our own purposes instead of the business itself. When it came up, the guy had been trying to sell it for a while. We kind of couldn't come to terms. I left it for a couple months, looked at devving out a project myself that looked similar. And then he hit me up and was ready to trade at numbers that made more sense.
Nice. Okay. So I really like what you said about it allows you to own it rather than rent it. Talk a little bit more about that. How does that actually play out in terms of an audience or from a marketing acquisition standpoint?
Yeah, anyone who has a product and is trying to get the word out there, there's only so many levers that you can pull. You can try to do influencer collaborations, where typically, if the influencer has any form of distribution or audience, you need to pay them to take the engagement, and then you have no real control over what they say, typically. And you also really don't know how it turns out until after the engagement's done. you can run ads, right? Running ads is basically renting it. It's Zuckerberg's traffic. He decides
who's
the audience. And there are a lot of products out there that either it doesn't make sense to run ads because the price point is too low. And so your customer acquisition cost is too high relative to what you actually make when you're selling a product, or all of the platforms have decided that what you're trying to advertise is against their terms of service, like the CBD crowd, and like a lot of supplements are really hard to do marketing for. There are a lot of products that you can't even really rent the traffic that way. You either have to have an influencer push it, or you need to own the traffic yourself somehow. And the old playbook is that in order to own the traffic, you need to publish daily and try to generate an audience and start a community and all that stuff. I think all that stuff is great. I think that's kind of the ground game to business today. But if you're trying to grow corporate accounts, is like next level hard.
You know? Yeah. You need a full sales team. You need to put real money and dollars behind marketing. Nice.
Yeah. Like that growing sense. That organically is like next to impossible unless your product is really built toward virality, like a liquid death or something like that. And so I've had that same problem in DealMaven as a software product around acquisitions that's not really naturally geared towards viral growth on social media. And so owning the accounts that have the eyeballs made more sense to me. And so that's been the process that I've done, and it's worked out pretty well. And I think it's a playbook that'll become a lot more popular in the growing years as getting the attention of people will get harder and harder. And you see tech companies kind of doing this mad rush towards owning audience. They're buying up newsletter businesses, Spotify buying Joe Rogan's podcast, Hustle getting bought by HubSpot. The list goes on and on and on of trying to own the eyeballs as much as you can.
Nice. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense to me because it kind of goes back to that whole buy versus build argument and concept that a lot of people talk about. And sometimes I think it relates usually in that sense to like a business, whether it's just starting a business versus buying a business. But in this essence, it's almost like more niche where you're talking about traffic acquisition and acquiring traffic and basically taking over audiences and growing from that standpoint. And that I really like because I almost see it like the highest leverage activity you could do almost, because like on the most basic level, there's one-off getting email subscribers, getting marketing to one person at a time. Then there's things like even podcasting or guest posting or guest blogging or JVs where you're a newcomer to somebody else's audience. And then this is like the ultimate top level three item, which is you're just purchasing and acquiring and owning that new audience.
Yeah, it's a buy then build within a buy then build. Like if I were to buy then build a business, then I would then buy then build the audience.
Exactly. Yeah. Nice. So rather than having to worry about all the other stuff, you're just acquiring, you're almost like tucking in that audience to your audience. Okay. So how have you find that transition occurring? I understand that when I am in any Facebook groups or meetups or things like that, I might not necessarily have an affinity with the owner themselves. It's more so with the group community. So have you seen that transition be pretty seamless? Is ownership changing hands without people even knowing, or how does that kind of play out?
Within the traffic acquisitions themselves?
Yeah.
I've seen it play out a couple of different ways, because even before we bought what is now MediaAcquire, we've done this as a service before. And in the service, what we found is that typically the owners that are willing to transact, that are wanting to transact, right? They've kind of been asleep at the switch for a while. And community members are asking for a little bit more engagement, a little bit more rule enforcement, a little bit more life breathed into the communities and the assets themselves. And so a new owner that's coming in, that's usually bringing either capital at the acquisition or a seller financing deal with the expectation of capital at some point, they come in with new energy. Basically, the only wrong way to do it is to come in and to be really heavy-handed and to be massively promotional at the front end of the acquisition. And you come in and you buy an Instagram account and you just start running all of your stuff and you quit kind of the content cadence that it's been on.
Yeah, you break the flow of how people were familiar.
Typically, you're looking at assets that have been massively under monetized, which is what the interest is. It's like, wow, these guys have traffic and they don't even know really what to do with it.
Yeah.
And the urge is to over monetize, right? And to make it, try to get your money back in the first weekend of owning it. And you can lose people that way. People are paying you with their attention on the front end. And so making sure that that attention trade is still worth it to them, that they they're getting what they expect, and then folding in promotions over time.
Okay. Okay. So I kind of see what you mean by that. Like when I think about, for example, HubSpot acquiring The Hustle or Trends, or like now, I don't know if you watch like the My First Million podcast, you see like the HubSpot ad kick in every now and then. So I guess I see that like they have that entire audience and they can kind of promote themselves, and they've just now bought their hundreds of thousands or millions of subscribers or whatever they have and their reach, and they kind of just seamlessly flow themselves into. And
I think what My First Million has done well is you have like the content expectation and then you have the promotion expectation. And what people tend to do is they keep the content the same or a little bit lower and the promotion goes 10x.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I've seen in something like My First Million is really the content has improved and the promotion has also gotten more visible. They'll do like back-to-back ads about like other people's podcast networks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think as long as the content and the promotion kind of that stays in parity, then I think you're good. It's when content goes to zero and promotion goes to 100 that you start losing people.
Got it. Got it. So in this way, for at least bigger companies, this makes sense because it's a way for them to go direct. It's a way for them to go D2C or remove gatekeepers. Like you mentioned, they can own the audience rather than renting it. And now you feel that it's going to be easy enough. Like these groups, if they move for like just hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, this is accessible to the everyday entrepreneur.
We've done deals that are hundreds of dollars for sure. We've done deals that are bigger than that, but we've done an 11,000 person Facebook group that was $350. And my daughter is 8 years old. And she loves sourcing products off of Alibaba.
Interesting. Nice. Yeah.
Like this will be the playbook that we'll use with her is we're going to find a product that she likes. Then we'll buy a group and start running promotions to that group with the product. It's so much easier than her posting on social media for the next 5 years and trying to grow
to get to that point
as an 8 year old. And it may not be a Facebook group. YouTube is interesting because YouTube monetizes itself. YouTube, you get paid for the views, and then you can also run promotions. And blogs are another thing that we'll have on MediaAcquire in terms of what their viewership is. And it's just MediaAcquire is assets that have inherent value because of the eyeballs associated with them. So whether that's a social media account, I put that in one grouping. It could be a content site, basically anything that has media associated with it. If you ever listened to Naval Ravikant on, there's only four ways to generate leverage in any business, right? There's labor, capital, code, and media. Media is one of those things. And it takes a pretty unique talent to really garner media leverage organically without just by posting and being interesting naturally. So I think the way that the everyday entrepreneur pulls that lever is by owning it to the best that they can. And I think that there's a lot of mispricings in the marketplace that we're hoping to help users and customers exploit in owning media that they can use for their own purposes.
Okay, got it, got it. So for MediaAcquire though, is it now people go there to find groups? Is it a listing website? Is it a marketplace? Is it like a service? What is it going to be going forward now?
Going forward, it will be a marketplace where you can find assets of sellers that are willing to trade. We'll also have a service where we can do a done for you process. We'll run the process for you and find something that's off market, depending on what your niche is, and making sure that we can do it. And then I think we'll also have informational products, kind of do it yourself. We have a course that we sold in the past called the Traffic Takeover System that kind of shows you the process that we use to buy traffic assets ourselves, reaching out, negotiating, transferring, and then managing. Those are the kind of the four big buckets that you have to think of with traffic.
Yeah. And
the traffic takeover system is if there's nothing on the marketplace that you like, but you want to do it for yourself, you buy the traffic takeover system. If you want us to do it for you, we're happy to. And if you're a member of MediaAcquire on the buy side, and then you get first access to the listings, that the assets that come on the marketplace.
Okay, got it. Interesting. And I guess last question on my end would be, what clientele do you feel would be most appropriate to come to MediaQuire? Is it e-commerce businesses, SaaS companies? Is it kind of all the above? Is it?
I think if you're in the business of selling things, then you need media.
Yeah. So it's pure traffic acquisition. It's like the way to skip all of the initial social media, SEO, all that. Like this can become another resource for these companies to be able to get in front of customers.
It's one way that you can buy growth.
I guess like the whole Penn buying Barstool Sports, things like that.
Yeah, Penn buying Barstool Sports, Spotify buying Joe Rogan. You see like Biz Buy Sell now has a podcast platform that they've acquired. People that are buying newsletter businesses. Rupert Murdoch is probably one of the OGs of buying Fox News and Wall Street Journal and all those things. They were in the media business, right? They were in the business of media. But I think what people find now more and more is e-com in the business of media. Yes. I think anyone that isn't getting enough growth through organic means, right? If you're not growing fast enough organically, I talk to 100 entrepreneurs a month and 100 of them
would say, I don't think anybody is happy
organically. I think a lot of entrepreneurs get started. They think about the product that they want to build, not the way that they want to distribute it. My own matrix in terms of how I think about my own businesses that I'm in is I think about, can the team execute? Is there demand for it? And is there distribution that we can find for it, right? Distribution, demand, and execution. Distribution, demand, execution. And to the extent that you can acquire the distribution, then you solve one part of the three-part problem. And then the question is, can our team execute on this thing? And do people actually want this thing? If you can own their eyeballs and get it in front of them, and you can actually build it, and you know that they want it, then you win. There's nothing groundbreaking there other than the fact that build it and they will come are declining drastically.
100%. Especially for 99.9% of businesses, like maybe ChatGPT, unless you have as novel or better technology than that, this would be probably the fastest way to do it. It might be a little pricey, but I guess you're right that the pricing arbitrage currently would allow this to be very beneficial from if you compare it to your normal cost of customer acquisition or LTV standpoint, this would probably be very beneficial for most people to come check out and use as a growth strategy.
From what I've seen, most of the entrepreneurs that I know have customer acquisition cost problems, particularly after iOS updates and tracking and not reporting, and you can't really attribute revenue to the right customer depending on how they've done it. I've seen a lot of businesses that were pretty profitable in 2019, 2020, and they're just completely upside down because they can't get their customer acquisition costs handled. So what we found with the people that we've done this for as a service before we own MediaQuire.com, that if you can allocate some of that budget to acquiring an asset that's a good asset with great eyeballs, you can drastically cut down your customer acquisition costs.
Nice. Awesome. Well, good stuff, man. Appreciate you coming on, and I'm excited to see how it goes with MediaQuire.com.
Let's go, baby. Let's do it. Go do deals, get rich. Peace.